Welcome to the Inspire Church podcast. We hope this message will equip and empower you to reach your God-given potential. Inspire Church is all about loving God, loving people, and inspiring our world. Visit inspirechurch.com.au for more information.
But tonight I want to speak just for a few moments on the calling of God. Are you ready? The calling of God. And when we're talking about the calling, so many people say, I'm not sure of my calling in life. Am I called to be a plumber? Am I called to be a scientist? Am I called to be a parent? Am I called to be a pastor? Let me tell you, God has called you for life today. God has called you. And don't allow yourself to live in doubt and wondering if God has called you or not. As we're going to discover tonight, God bellows for you and God is calling out with thunder and lightning for your name. You see, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, and we know that Timothy is a young preacher, a young man, probably in biblical times, he's probably in his 40s, so a young man according, not to me, an older man than me, but more like Adam Boyes' age, in his 40s, and wisdom. Timothy was running a church, and it's probably very similar to the size of Inspire Church, several thousand people and many things happening, and they talk, and the Apostle Paul is writing to him and telling him about the qualifications of a pastor, the qualifications of running a church, and so on. And in 2 Timothy, he writes this. Are you ready? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. You see, the calling of God isn't just a calling. It's not something you just end up doing. It's a high calling. It's a holy calling. It is a reserved calling set out for those that are not ashamed of the gospel. You know, sometimes people say, what do you do on Sundays? And you'll tell them everything else but you went to church. Get some confidence about you and say, well, I went to church on Sunday. Actually, I went 3 times. And I had a hamburger when I was there and a coffee, and people got saved. I am not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of its power, for it is. Church, we've got to get some confidence about us to a whole new level. That you hear people bragging about going to the beach, people bragging about going here, going to the shops. Oh, is that all you did? I went to church. I have a calling on my life. I saw people get set free. I saw people that were looking for purpose and calling in life and didn't know what it was about find Jesus and hear this treasure given away for free. That is a high calling. The calling of God is not something to be ashamed of. We see here Paul saying that he's a prisoner of, not being ashamed of the testimony, and that he's a prisoner of. He's saying this in a poetic sense, as in he's not in prison like in Kasula jail. He's so captured, so captivated by the realities of God. This was a man that went around persecuting Christians that had an encounter with God. You see, when you have an encounter with God, you're captivated and you're convinced to a point where you'll leave everything and chase after him. Why? Because it's a higher calling. It's a higher calling. I've got a prop. This is how prepared I am. All for you interns. I've got a prop here. I don't know if we can get a zoom in of this. Can we get it? What does that say, church? Coca-Cola. Now, that's a lip balm, by the way. My sponsor, Coca-Cola. How do you do what you do? Coca-Cola. All right. Power of God. People. People will give up something when it's better. We don't go for the inferior thing. People say, well, I had a life and I'm getting to the Coke thing. You see, there's this other thing called Pepsi. We don't stock it at Inspire Church. We only have the best Coca-Cola. Once you try something and you know it's better, you'll stick to it. Are you hearing me? With your walk with God, you hear people say, I had a party rock style lifestyle and I gave it up for Jesus. And I walk into church tonight thinking, this is the biggest concert and party going in town right now. There's people celebrating the fact that God has saved them. There's people celebrating that they don't have to go and string themselves out on drugs. There's people celebrating that their marriage has been saved. There's people celebrating that they found a home. There's people celebrating that they found a life, a higher calling, that we don't have to numb and dull ourselves, or we don't have to pump ourselves artificially, because we are called to a higher calling. Can I get an amen? Sometimes we can start arguing against each other and wondering who's best or who's better. Forget about best or better. There's only one God that's good, and that is the God we serve, the God of heaven and earth. Can I get an amen in this place? Are you ready for point one? God qualifies the called. You see, you say, I need to get a PhD in life so I can begin. But you see, God has a different plan. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, for you see your calling, brethren, not that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. What's going on here? God chooses what's glorified. God chooses of what's great. And you say, well, Luke, what's weak then? Do I have to make myself weak and frail? No, it's called vulnerability. That vulnerability as a Christian is expressed in our faith and love and serviceship of the Lord Jesus Christ. That seems foolish. You go and tell somebody that you serve God and you trust in Him for your future. That sounds bizarre. They'll say, well, I've got my stock in horses. I've got my stock in chariots. I've got my stock in oil. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord first. We're going to invest into His kingdom first. And that thing just shatters people's minds. They say, well, how do you do that? Because I believe and I'm not ashamed in the calling of God. People talk about their share and property portfolio. Let me tell you about where my faith is. Because property and shares come and go over time. Not saying you shouldn't let it serve you and you shouldn't make that become something that serves your family and generations to take the gospel to a further thing. But our faith comes in God. His calling, the highest calling, the holy calling. Not many wise according to the flesh. You know, some people, they think they're so smart. In science, they think they're so smart in what's that other thing called? Math. 1 + 1 = 2. Or in Australia, we say mass. Not the gathering of church people, mass. Mass as in M-A-T-H-S. And we think we're so smart in working the systems and this and that. And people think they're so smart, so strong. And then God sends a bit of wind and everything falls apart. God can shake the earth. God can change. Are you hearing me? Not many mighty, not many noble. Some people think they're too good to serve God. Well, you know, interns across the front here. Well, I was supposed to go to university, but you know, I can't go to college because, you know, I've actually got into uni. Have you heard people talk like that? Or you should do a trade. It's funny. I used to think that you had to get into university to have a life. And then I applied and I thought, I'll give it a go. I didn't find much there. I used to think you've got to be a builder. So I started building things. Like I got my Lego together and built things. I used to think that I had to prove myself to everyone, be a big sportsman, be the best wrestler in the world. Logan knows all about that. Be the best at this, be the best at that. But then I realized what I have to be the best at. Be the best at being faithful to God. Because his calling came before the beginning of time. His calling came before science. His calling came before the earth was formed. His calling was from the very beginning. You are called, not many mighty, not many that are noble. I want to encourage us tonight, church, let's never think we're too good for the things of God. Let's always have that good Samaritan approach, because sometimes we get too busy trying to be the heroes of the faith and we forget to do the hands and work of Jesus Christ. You know, I encourage us, even with our, this is getting a bit off track, but with our truck full of love, that's us being the hands of Jesus. That's bringing the feet of Jesus. That's bringing love to a generation that's missing out on the realities of God. So again, God qualifies. Number one, God qualifies the called. God has chosen to put the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. When you stand in faith, people come to Jesus. When you stand in faith, the people that consider themselves wise come to Jesus and say, there must be a God. There must be a God. They get saved. Number two, God's call is based on our availability, not just our ability. You see, if you said, let's put the best speakers up, I don't know who the best speakers are because the talented ones come and go. Let's put the best organizers together to organize things. I don't know where they are. Who's available is who God uses. Let's go right back to the Old Testament. We see David before he became king. God wanted to take down a Goliath, but no one would show up. No one was willing to step up because they said they didn't fit the mold. They didn't have the ability. But David said, I'm available. Let's look at this. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. That's in the Bible if you're wondering. Isaiah chapter 6. And it talks about the year of King Uzziah and the Lord sitting on the throne and he's lifted up high and the train of his robe fills the temple. Can I get an amen? And above stood the seraphim. And each one had wings and covered his face and two covered his feet. This is what Isaiah is seeing. And this crying out, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth was full of his glory. And the post of the door was shaken by the voice who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, woe is me. Has anyone come into the presence of God and just felt like they weren't good enough? Or just me? Has anyone come to, I know when I invite certain people to church, they say, oh, if I went in there, lightning would hit me. Hey, we're all sinners. We've all done things wrong. We've all got shame and guilt and transgression in our life and trespass and all those type of things. And when this guy came to God and he saw how wonderful he God was and saw the glory and he saw the angels singing out, his response was, woe is me. Sometimes when we come to God, we just talk about why we're not good enough. Moses was the same. God spoke to Moses and he says, oh, I'm of non-eloquent speech. Don't worry about how eloquent your words are. When God backs up your questions and your commands with bringing plagues, and we're not going to go into it, but for the sake of time, you see that God starts to back your words. So we see, woe is me, I am undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. Talking from Isaiah chapter 6. And I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then the seraphim flew to me, having his hand live with a coal. This is what it says. Taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away. Your sin is purged. Only God can do that. And also a voice from heaven, from the Lord, said this, whom shall I send and who will go for us? We see a man of unclean lips. We see a man from an unclean people that had a glimpse of God and God touched his life with a seer. And then God shouts out from heaven above, says, who will go and give this message that I take away iniquity, that I set people free, that I will touch your mouth and I'll anoint what you do? And we see the concept here of availability versus ability. And God's shouting out, who will go? Who will stand? Who will rise up? And we see this simple answer. Isaiah says, here I am, send me. We need to have that attitude tonight where we say, God, here I am, send me. God, here I am, send me to the nation. God, here I am, send me to my school tomorrow. God, wherever I go, you go with me. Wherever I go, you go before me. Wherever I go, God, we see your name lifted up. Can I get an amen in this place? Can I get some of the worship team? Is that okay? Here I am, send me. I just think about, I don't know, everything God's ever done. And it's always started with just saying yes. God does this mighty thing. I was thinking about Intensify, which is on next year. It's going to be the greatest conference ever. And I'm thinking about what God has done through that conference. And it started with a couple of people that just said, you know what, God, just use us. And we met in the gymnasium. I remember asking people to be involved and they said they had to pray about it. That's a Christian's way of saying no. Guys, if you ask a girl out and she says she has to pray about it, it means no, she's being nice to you. All right? If you ask someone to marry you and they say I have to pray about it, it's a no. Anyway, stay on track. We created this thing. We wanted to do a conference. And we were saying, well, what do we call it? It's like, oh, we want people to experience the power of God, but we want to see them trained and equipped so they can do something with it. You know, it's all good to have this anointed orb of anointing, but what is it actually doing? So we want to see practical training, how to worship lead, how to serve people, how to run lights and equipment, and how to connect with people, and all these electives and things like that. I had this big dream, and then got the photocopier out, got Publisher. Does anyone use Publisher, that advanced program? Trying to make up a name for a conference, and we end up putting some letters together and calling it Intensifier, trademarked now. Right now, I just said it. Internationally. And it was all about, we want people to find their calling. With the Bible College, with Inspire College, is all about, what are we going to do to help people empower in their calling? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? How are we going to facilitate? And it only took a few people, and we started. And the first morning, the first Intensify conference started many, many years ago on a Wednesday morning with Pastor John McMartin as the guest speaker. And I remember being halfway through the session, and we gave him an hour because 14-year-olds, 13-year-olds in an hour session. And the kids were putting their hands up, asking questions. They weren't even amening. It was really awkward. And I think after that, my dad said, don't ever ask me to speak at this thing again. I'll let you run it, but don't. That's not true. And God moved. There was about 15 people, 30 people or so in the first morning. On the last night, we had people sitting in the car park because God moved. Not as in no one was in the building. The building was full and they flowed out to the car park. And then we had this dream of maybe one day we could be in the auditorium. This auditorium here. And it was this big, let's believe God. And we're always like, but we're not qualified. We need someone to write a letter for us to say we can do something bigger for God. We started doing albums. We started doing things to reach people's lives. No one ever said that we're qualified to do it. We just heard from God and stepped out. Heard from God, stepped out. Heard from God, stepped out. And you know what? Not everything's been a win. There's been some quite embarrassing moments. But everyone forgets that when you win the grand final. Everyone forgets the spilt milk. Everyone forgets the things that didn't go right. But we see the calling of God lifts up, takes forward. I want to make this third point before I'm almost finished. God's call comes with a price. People say, oh, but I have the feeling, so it should happen. That stirring is okay. But go and pay the price. Go and equip yourself. I wanted to do something for God, so I quit my job, which was hard because I liked having money. And I went to Bible college, and I didn't have the blessing and the ability to go to Inspire College because it didn't exist when I went to college. I had to go to the other side of town. It's very far over there, before the motorways were put in. And I always thought, how good would it be to have a college in Western Sydney that could go to the nations, that could build the church here? I always thought the same with our youth conference. Why do we always have to go somewhere else? It's like when people have their birthday party, they always have the party and the wedding reception on the other side of town. Do you notice that? It's like, have it in the cafe. We can go there. No, we've got to celebrate things. But things come with a price. Jesus said in Matthew 16, as quoted in Matthew 16, it's quoted in quite a few of the Gospels. If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself or themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. For what profit to a person or a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And what would a man give in exchange for his soul? I wonder, church, when you get to the end of your life and you look back at the decisions you made, when you look at the back of your life and you say, you know what, I just should have done something for God. I was intending to go to Bible college. I was intending to do something for Jesus at a bigger scale, but I never had the right timing. I never had the right whatever. Let me tell you, the season will never be perfect. The Bible says, he who pays attention to the wind will not sow. He who pays attention to the economy, he who gives attention to what's going on right now, won't set themselves up for a future victory. And I want to tell you now, pick it up. You say, oh, look, it doesn't make sense. Hey, the things of God confound the proud, the wise. God uses the foolish things. A group of young people that decided to go and study the Bible, what have they done? They've changed the world. Just change the world, that's all. Change the way the politics are done, change the way that we serve, change the way that the arts are done. Give your calling to God. Sometimes we have a calling and want everyone else to pay for it. But sometimes you have to pay with your time, with your energy, with your efforts. Anything that comes easy, everyone else has. What are you willing to build? What are you willing to pay for? Look at this church. It's because people in this city said, we're going to lift up the name of Jesus and we're not going to stop. The last thing I'll say before I get off this stage tonight is God's calling has excellent power. Can I open this up? Now, to you young people, this is a Bible, okay? It's, you know, you have it on your iPads and things like that. This is a paper. It's got writing on it. Yeah. Highlights for the bits I want to say right now. If someone can grab the pulpit, this stuff, it's cool. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I want everyone to listen to me when I say this. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels. What's an earthly vessel? That's your body, your flesh. You receive an education into this earthly vessel. You receive manicures and haircuts and all those things. That's for the earthly vessel. But we carry, this earthly vessel is the temple of the Holy Spirit. This earthly temple carries something. See, this vessel, we have this treasure in our earthly vessels that the excellence of power of God may be in us. Let me tell you tonight about your calling. It's the excellence of the power of God working through your life. Every time we create, every time we achieve, every time we build, we're allowing the excellence of God to permeate and move through this earthly vessel. The calling of God is not a low road. The call of God is not an easy road. The call of God is not a high road. It is a holy calling because this temporary vessel is carrying an eternal message. This earthly vessel is carrying the power of Jesus Christ. This earthly vessel carries the ability to see the sick healed. This earthly vessel. sees the ability to lay hands on people and see them filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Think about the disciples when they're saying silver and gold. So the disciples, seeing the silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. That same power that was going through their bodies, that same power when they were laying hands on people and they're being filled with the Spirit and devils cast out and the mute were speaking and the deaf were hearing, that same power is living in this earthly vessel tonight. And I wonder tonight, are you going to honor that calling or are you going to hide from it? Are you going to lift up the light? Who has this light and puts a cover over it? They lift it up and they put it on show. This earthly vessel needs to stay away. This earthly vessel is just the flesh. It's the excellence of God that rises up within us. We may be pressed from every side. We may, but we're never overcome. Are you here? We may be perplexed, but never in despair. The call of God has a squeeze to it, but it's a squeeze that brings out the fine wine. It's a squeeze that makes the olive oil. It's a squeeze that turns rubbish into diamonds. It's the pressure that creates the oil. The call of God is willing to put itself in the vice. The call of God is willing to stand up and say, "Yes, Lord, send me. I will go in Jesus' mighty name." Amen. Awesome.
Thank you for listening to this life-transforming message. For service times, upcoming events, or to find out more about Inspire Church, log on to inspirechurch.com.au.